Welcome to After the Dream, which examines the social, economic, and political implications of events in America's South following the civil rights movement of the mid-1960s and the ongoing struggle for black equality. In Part 7, Professor Timothy Minchin and Professor Emeritus John Salmond will discuss Martin Luther King and his dream. We'll start with Professor Salmond.
Martin Luther King became and was, for a brief period of time, obviously, the kind of leader of the National Civil Rights Movement. His involvement in a bus boycott in Montgomery, in Alabama, in the 1950s, kind of catapulted him into the position of national black leader. He became synonymous with nonviolent action to bring social change. And his speech on the 28th of August 1963 was very much in that pattern. He, of course, was not the only speaker. There were nine others, but he's the one who's remembered. And it was partly because of the fact that there were nine others that his speech turned out to be so great, because essentially he had to throw away much of his prepared speech because things went on far too long, and delivered his dream speech, which was composed of bits and pieces of stuff that he'd been saying in other places for quite some time, more extemporaneously, and it was an extraordinarily powerful performance. I will never forget it. It was, for me, the single most compelling piece of public oratory that I've ever heard, and there's no doubt that King's dream became synonymous with the civil rights movement. Everyone knows what King's dream was, to the extent that King is now a kind of national figure. King has become a uniting figure, whereas at the time he was a very divisive figure, but he's now a uniting figure. People take from the dream speech just about whatever they want to. Some of the Tea Party rallies this year, some of these extremely right-wing rallies in which there is an element of anti-Obama racism, nevertheless became celebrations of King's dream. Sarah Palin drapes herself in King's dream, because the part of the dream that people remember now, and which everyone can use, conservatives as well as liberals, is the notion about what matters is not the colour of the skin, but the conscience of your character. King's dream is essentially a non-racial one. And so you can use King's dream now, and it is being used and has been used for 20, 30 years, to justify standing against affirmative action, to justify giving any racial preference at all, because that's not what the dream talked about. The dream talked about just individual character. So King's now become a unifying figure. You take from him what you want. No one really dwells on the fact that when he was assassinated in 1968, he was a very divisive figure indeed, and a man who had grown steadily more radical, who really actually by 1968 could not have believed all that much about his dream, a man who became deeply disillusioned with his country and its involvement in Vietnam, deeply disillusioned about the social progress that he had expected so confidently to see 5 years before, and who had moved more and more into what might be called the political position of the democratic socialist, questioning the very foundations of American liberal democracy. That was the reality at the time of his death. It is not the reality now. King is all things to all persons. Much as you can take what you want from, say, the Gospels, you can take what you want from King's dream speech, and people do, and they use it in very, very different ways.
Yeah, I think very much so. I mean, I think it's interesting that when he was assassinated, as you say, he was actually calling for a radical redistribution of income. This wasn't just something that he said at the end of his life, it's something he'd been saying for several years previously, and there'd always been quite a strong emphasis on economic rights in his thinking, on supporting the rights of unionization for black workers as a way of lifting them out of poverty. And these aspects of his philosophy and thinking are almost completely absent from public day life and discourse about King. So it's interesting the way that certain aspects of his philosophy have been remembered and others have been largely forgotten.
even with President Obama, who proclaims King to be his hero, it's the consensus King that President Obama is most engaged with, because he really is, in many ways, a post-civil rights African-American. He doesn't share, for a start, the legacy of up from slavery, the, you know, traditional African-American narrative. That isn't Obama's narrative at all, obviously. In fact, the only connection that Obama has with slavery, unlike most African-Americans, is through his white great-grandparents who owned slaves. And so his King is very much the consensus King of everyone pulling together and building a better world.
The book Professor Minchin and Professor Salmon co-authored is called After the Dream, Black and White Southerners Since 1965. It is published by the University Press of Kentucky and is available from all good bookstores. Listen in next week when they will discuss the current state of civil rights and the Obama presidency. If you have any questions, comments, or feedback, you can send us an email at podcast@latrobe.edu.au.